Well, I was thinking the other day about the time when I became a Christian. Like many people, the way God dealt with me wasn't a one-time event. It was more of a process that led up to a once-in-a-lifetime event. You see, when God first got my attention, my initial response wouldn't have won me any prizes for obedience. Looking back, that wasn't surprising, since I wasn't particularly looking for God at the time. Actually, I was quite happy doing my own thing and was more interested in getting my motorbike fixed than finding out about God. My initial response to God was one of, yeah, nah, not really interested, thanks very much. Of course, a few days later, God really did get my attention, but that's a story for another day. I wonder, though, what was your initial response when God first called you? And if you're one of those fortunate people who can't remember ever being a part of God's family, what would your response be if God called you to something new, something totally different today? I ask this because how people respond to God could have a dramatic impact on their lives. And this is something that Mary, the mother of Jesus, knows all about. You see, Mary models for us the only appropriate response anyone could have. It was one of obedience. "I am the Lord's servant," she said. "May it be to me as you have said." Now, let's be clear right from the start. In one sense, there's nothing particularly special about Mary. Yes, she'd found favor with God, and the angel Gabriel told her that she would miraculously give birth to a son, and that she would name him Jesus, and that he would be called Son of the Most High. But there's Mary, unmarried, soon to be pregnant, definitely still a virgin, and facing potential scandal. And yet the angel calls her highly favored. Imagine what Joseph would have thought. There's Mary, having just spoken with an angel of God. She comes running in and blurts out, "Guess what, Joseph? I'm going to be pregnant. And God is going to be the father." Of course, we have no idea how Mary actually broached the subject with Joseph, but we sometimes assume that he must have just meekly accepted it. At least we would if we only had Luke's gospel to go by. It's in Matthew's gospel that we learn that Joseph wasn't best pleased about all this. It's probably safe to say that Joseph was little more than just a bit disturbed by the news. And who wouldn't be? I wonder how the conversation then actually went. "What? You're pregnant? And God is the father? Really? And you expect me to believe that, do you? I mean, I know I'm not a woman and all, but I do know how babies come into the world." Well, I'm guessing that probably all of us would have had the same reaction as Joseph. Because just like people do today, everyone back then knew only too well that babies come about by having sex. And that was a complete no-no before marriage. They may not have known about X chromosomes and Y chromosomes, but they did know that anyone claiming to get pregnant by any other means was probably trying to cover up their moral indiscretions. Because of this, some people questioned the authenticity of the accounts of Jesus' birth. But given that the accounts in Matthew's and Luke's Gospels are so different, it's pretty unlikely that they concocted such an unlikely story, let alone copied one another. And to claim that these accounts were just an invention of the early church is just pure fantasy. Why on earth would anyone make up such an unlikely thing as a virgin giving birth? No, the only reason that both Matthew and Luke included in their Gospels is because, unlikely though it is true. It's such a fantastical story that only God could pull it off. Because this is not something done by human desire, It was something done by God himself. The birth of Jesus Christ was entirely God's initiative. This was God's Son, the fulfillment of prophecy, and a challenge to all the earthly empires, both then and now. Well, perhaps that's one reason why people don't want to discredit it. Not because it seems impossible, but because if it really did happen, then it has laid down a fundamental challenge to everything we believe. It rocks the very foundations of our lives and forces us to review everything in the light of Jesus. So there's Mary. She's just received momentous news that she's going to give birth to God's Son. But look at her response. She didn't argue the merits of whether this was a good idea or not. We probably would have. But then again, I don't know about you, but I'm not as humble as Mary. Mary didn't argue, and she didn't refuse. As odd as it might have sounded to her, Mary did not reject God's call on her life. However, she did question how it could possibly happen. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking questions. Questions are good. Quite naturally, Mary wants to know how it will happen. Where will the resources come from? How will she be able to do that job without the necessary skills? All those are natural and valid questions. Mary's response is one of obedience. But that wasn't to say she wasn't worried or afraid about what all this meant for her. She probably was. After all, she would have been well aware what usually happens to women in her position who get pregnant. If she wasn't stoned to death for being a loose woman, then the least that would happen to her that she would be quietly hidden away to live her life out in shame. So when she speaks to the angel, she does so in an attitude of quiet submission. There's no sign of doubt in her questions, just a desire for more information to ease her anxiety. After all, she's well aware that she's going to have some explaining to do. Her response was a simple, humble response of faith. Let it be to me as you have said. And the Holy Spirit came upon Mary to enable her to do and be more than she could possibly do by herself. Just as the Holy Spirit will enable us to do and be more than we can do by ourselves. When God asks us to do the seemingly impossible, I wonder what our response would be then. Some of us might just shrug it off as the imaginings of our own mind. But we'd be better off to go to God in prayer and seek clarification, just like Mary did. You might, of course, think that God would never call you to do anything, and that if he did, it would probably be a mistake. But God calls all sorts of people, and not all of them have the right response. After all, God called Jonah to go down and warn the Ninevites of their impending doom. And what was his response? Certainly wasn't one of obedience, was it? He ran away. And Jesus calls a rich young man to follow him, and he was full of excuses. So what's our response to be when God calls us to do something? Perhaps it should be more like the prophet Samuel. When Samuel heard the voice of God calling him, his response was a simple one. Speak, for your servant is listening. You see, God calls each of us because he has a job for us to do. Sometimes these jobs will have a huge impact on others, but mostly the jobs that God gives us to do are actually not too difficult, but they're no less necessary. Jobs like prayers to pray for those in need, phone calls to make to the lonely, visiting, people to spend time with, all done in the name of Jesus. And in answer to God's call to love our neighbour as ourselves. Of course, we do need to be careful that we're responding appropriately to God's voice. So we need to one another as we discern and respond to what God is saying. We should never forget that God is in the habit of using ordinary people like you and me, people like Joseph and Mary, to accomplish great things for him. So when God calls, I pray that we all would be humble enough to say, just as Mary did, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be as you have said. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, as you speak your words to us, Lord, open our ears, Lord, and our hearts, as we say every week, that we might apply your word to our lives. We say it, Lord, but sometimes it's hard to do. When you call each of us, Lord, just ask, Lord, that you would help us to accept your word to us and to do as you have asked, to be your humble and willing servants in this world. Though we may be afraid or worried about what it might mean for us, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would give us the strength to be obedient to your call on our lives. Because we know, Lord, that ultimately your Spirit will help and guide us and provide us with all that we need to fulfill your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.